living in the rising sun, the land of bamboo, Tengu, and Gundam. Like, yo, can't believe I finally made it. Matsuri celebrated Golden Week, hold it down with my cho.
Well, hey everybody, and welcome to the Manga Sensei podcast. I'm your host, as always, John Sensei, and today is another interview where I'm interviewing people that use Japanese in their life, their job, or have found ways to improve their Japanese through interesting means. And today I'm talking to my friend Jeff. You may be familiar with Jeff from his website, which is not only down below in the show notes, but it's self-taught Japanese. So if you are interested in finding extremely good language tools, his site is one of the best places that I found for a good, really well-screened language tools, and he also gives some good advice on how to learn language, so I was really, really happy to have him on. He's a prolific blogger and a writer and a translator, and go ahead, Jeff. I'll let you explain a little more about what you do.
Oh, sure. No problem. Thanks. First, before I get started, I really wanted to thank you. Should I call you John Sensei or John? What is the best way to call you?
None de もいいよ.
Okay. わかりました. All right. So I'll just say John because I guess that's the most natural. So, yeah. John, first I wanted to really thank you for the opportunity for this interview. To be honest, it's probably, at least for Japanese, it's the first interview I've had in an audio form. I've done a little bit of audio blogging, but I've done interviews given and received in a text form, but this is probably my first audio one. So, I'm trying to learn the ropes, so excuse me if I'm a little rough. But yeah, I just really wanted to thank you for the opportunity. So it's really awesome. So yeah, just to talk about the question. So yeah, just to talk about me, I mean, we can focus on whatever you want to get into, but I've been studying Japanese for pretty much 20 years. And it's kind of a weird situation because I've been studying it, I would say, almost constantly. Like, when I say constantly, I mean a few times I've taken a few month break, so I'm not going to say constantly, but
right.
Over time, it's been pretty obsessive is the best way. And again, I'm not saying, we'll find out later how my conversation skills, I have weaknesses, I have strengths. I mean, to be honest, I focused a little bit more on literature, which is first understanding it and then learning to start translating it. So that's right. Been one of my focus areas. But, I can at least do some basic speech, so we'll try that out. But, yeah, it's something that I've been studying for a long amount of time. And then eventually I was might as well start a blog. And I think that was 5 or 6 years ago. Uh-huh. And it's kind of been addictive, right? So, I don't know about the exact count. I have over 500 articles or something. And then 2 years ago, I just got started a hobby translation. Now I have, I don't know how many chapters, maybe at least 100 of different books and different online novels. So, and there's a lot of stuff there. So, yeah, it's just been a hobby of mine, and I just love Japanese. I mean, we can talk about details, but that's just me. It's just my hobby. My work is totally different, which is less exciting, but my hobby, it's pretty much Japanese. So anything, I could study, I have been.
Yeah, I've noticed, when I first was introduced to your site a while ago, I was surprised by I think the first thing that surprised me about the website that I really, really enjoyed was the amount of reply and the amount of care you take towards your comment section.
Oh, thank you.
Which is really surprising on a lot of the blogs that I follow in because I love Japanese. Well, this is my life. This is my livelihood. And being able to see people that actually care to read the comment section and make comments back and then have such a variety of good content, such as from talking about translation to mnemonic devices, which was one of your more recent articles, to helping create almost a registry of language tools for people to go in and see, was something I found not only impressive, but something I actually used myself.
Nice. So awesome. Glad to do that. Yeah, I mean, just to make a comment about that, maybe this is common sense, but as a blogger, obviously, readers are pretty much everything. I mean, there's part of it that's the act of writing itself. Studies show that it's therapeutic, and it's not that I'm sick or anything, but it's a healing, it's something that really makes you feel good. But apart from that, obviously getting responses from people, right, feedback, indirect statistics, all these things, they're really great. So when I get a comment, and the other day I got one in one of my recent articles, it was this super long, it might have been the article that you were talking about, actually, with the mnemonic. It was like a page, you see this guy, and I'm like, wow, thanks, man. So, and I was like, wow, this guy, I mean, he was obviously an experienced guy, so when I get, especially these experienced guys and girls, reading my blog, and I'm like, wow, I mean, I definitely don't consider myself an expert, I'm kind of an experienced hack, but yeah, it makes me feel great. So, and another thing I like to say is, whenever I get comments or requests, in particular, I try to help. And I've gotten requests for translation. There's been one or two cases when I've refused, but often if I get a, you know, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Or can you make an article about this? Like, very frequently, I will like make an article. Like, literally, one of that, I think it was the same article we're talking about. One of my friends was like, hey, Jeff, how do you learn vocabulary words? And like, I was stumped. Yeah. And I think I said at the beginning of the article, and I was like, yeah. And I just gave like one fraction of that content. And I was like, you know what, dude, I'll get back to you. So the next week, I think I actually asked him to confirm what he was asking for. And then the week after, I delivered the article. I'm like, dude, read this. So, and I knew some of this stuff in my head, but it's really great. So what I'm just saying is, if you're readers, you know, or you, anybody, you know, reading the blog is awesome, but if you want to give feedback, that's awesome. And I will definitely try, you know, if it's a longer, you know, it'll take me time to read and respond, but I'll definitely try to, you know, help you guys out, because I really want to help, because I enjoy helping. You know, I've been a TA before and other stuff, and I might become a teacher someday, but I love helping people. So
yeah, it really comes through. And actually, I kind of want to zoom in on that article a little bit. It was the one about, I believe it was how do you learn vocabulary?
Yeah,
it was one of the more recent ones. And one thing I really, really liked was there was three main points that I saw that I find extremely interesting, and I kind of want to get into the meta of this a little bit. First is you mentioned some mnemonic devices, like you said, you may dream, as in the word you may, meaning to dream. You may dream. It's corny, but it sticks in your head.
Of course.
And things like that. Do you use a lot of mnemonic devices?
Yeah, I mean that. I added that. How should I say? Excuse me, getting over a cold.
You're good.
I added that as to be thorough, but I think somewhere in the text of the article, if I remember, I don't have it in front of me, but I was saying that it only goes so far. It's kind of like, it's definitely a crutch would be the right word.
Yes.
So to be honest, like I don't consciously use it. The You May Dream one is like, yeah, it's funny. And actually one of my friends told me that a long time ago, and that kind of shows you how much it sticks. So it's good, but I actually found, and I think I alluded this in the article, but I didn't describe it, so I'll give more details.
Yeah.
It actually, it can slow you down. To give you an example, another friend, the same period, this was in college like 20 years ago, gave me another mnemonic, and I didn't write this one down because I don't like it, but it's, I'm trying to remember, it's sato, which is sugar, sounds like salt, but it's not. So it's very confusing. So if I think about it, and I'm like, okay, sato is salt. No, it's not salt. That's what my friend said. He said, okay, it's actually sugar. So it's a bad mnemonic.
Right.
So if I were to use that mnemonic, it would like take me longer. And I have in rare cases when I forget, you know, and there's other mnemonics that like you have to step through, right? You have to remember the mnemonic. You have to double check the logic, and they can be helpful. But to me, the natural learning, which is not the easy part, but it's more like the instinctual, you just happen to pick it up. That's the more permanent learning. And I mentioned in there, the more permanent learning comes from things like emotion-laden and experiences.
Yes.
And things like that you're really into, right? You're immersed. I mean, and obviously living in Japan is the best way, as you know. Mm-hmm. But you can even get into a drama. You know, if you watch a movie, you can cry, right? In English or Japanese.
Right.
So if you watch a movie in Japanese, you can actually get into it, right? So your emotions, they might be half-fake, but they're better than like reading a textbook, right? You're not going to cry or laugh unless you're hating the content.
I have cried over some of my grades.
That's just another example.
Japanese.
Go ahead.
I have cried over some of my grades in Japanese. They can make you cry.
Yeah. That's funny. Right?
But one thing that's what I really, really liked. You know, there was a mnemonic that I remember learning when I was my first couple weeks learning Japanese. And for some reason, they were teaching the verb to establish, setsuritsu suru. And I was thinking and my teacher was going like the sound out of the Wizard of Oz, setsuritsu suru, setsuritsu suru, when like the wicked witch comes in. And that always stuck in my head. However, moment when I need to think of that word to establish, you know, this company was established at this time. They established the foundation of this year. I had the opportunity to translate for Kumamoto Castle when I was in Japan doing their internal translation for the microphones and in the little cases. And I couldn't think of the word without the mnemonic. And that's what ended up being a crutch. And so often I think people will go after these useful, I'm going to learn this word, and so I'm going to make this mnemonic for it, and I'm going to make this story out of, you know, this word. But then they remember the story, but can't pull the word when they need the word.
Exactly what I'm saying, yeah. The process of recall, and there's other techniques like, I think I alluded to like a memory chaining. You make a room and you walk through the room.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's great, but you don't have time to do that. I mean, even if you're translating, you don't want to do that. It's like, honestly, when I'm translating, I'll look up words constantly in the dictionary because it's just, frankly, faster than trying to use some crazy memory mnemonic.
Yes.
So another thing I mentioned is, to me, the opposite of that is when you learn tools which will enable you to pick up new words. And I think I gave this example with Buji, or I'm trying to remember what it was.
I think it was,
but it was with learning kanji, right? So just to give you an example, just like, it was literally like 2 or 3 hours ago. And I was looking up for a cool way or a Japanese way to say somebody's name, like a name, shitsunonamae, right? Yeah. And I just, the word came to me, jinmei. And I don't remember if I heard it before.
Right.
And I just, in my part of my head, I knew the kanji for shito, which can be pronounced jin, as you commonly know.
Right.
And mei, which is, you know, the one of the kanji for
na, right?
You know, like, yeah, exactly. So, and I just, I might have heard it before. I might have not. And I just said, you know what? Maybe it's jinmei. I looked it up and it was.
Yep.
So whether I remembered it or I like happened to get lucky, and which doesn't always work, but the point is, if I would have heard that word, I would have also recognized it potentially. So it takes a certain amount of advancement, but once you learn the kanji, and I don't know, there's no language like English or any romance language where you can do this, right? You hear a word, you can map it to the kanji in your head,
yes.
And if you get lucky, you can actually figure out the meaning, right? And that's like learning the Latin roots to English. I mean, who does that, right?
Exactly. I remember the first time I actually did that, is when I learned the on reading for mae, to be before something or in front of something, and then kai.
Yes.
I was trying to say, last time we met, I was like, mae no yakusoku in my head, but I was like, wait,
yeah.
Mae, zen, and then kai, the time. I was like, zen kai, and like the... They understood it, and the idea that I was able to combine those two kanji together was where I was actually
right.
I was actually doing the learning instead of memorizing little bits of things. I was starting to put the language together.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
It's a lot of fun. How do you, if you were to talk to your younger self, or maybe a student that's just beginning to learn Japanese, how would you help them shy away from those types of those types of language crutches?
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, some of them are okay. It isn't that they're gonna like pollute you and
no.
Destroy. I mean, the crutch is just like a physical crutch.
Yes.
Is there for a reason. So if it helps you, I mean, if you try them out and some of those things do help, like, by all means, use them.
Yep.
And it's okay. But what I would do is like. Like, and there was one of your interviews I was just listening to, just to kind of get warmed up for this.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I'm trying to remember her name, Nakamoto-san, if I remember.
Yeah, Nakamoto.
Or Ai-san, as you called her.
Yeah, Nakamoto.
And she said something like, have fun, right? And I'm not trying to, like, copy, you know, what she said, but I agree. It's, like, that's extremely important. So, and I'm sure I had a few articles about this, but if you give up, right, then... obviously, it's over, right? And that actually reminds me of an anime line from a long time ago. But basically, and I don't remember the line, but the idea was, like, if as long as you don't die, you're cool, right? And it sounds
right.
Stupid, but it's the same thing with Japanese. You do whatever you need to do to maintain that, whether that means not overdoing it, whether it means focusing on things that you enjoy in the beginning. I mean, I watched a whole lot of anime, like, for
right.
many years, right? And anime is cool, and I still I watch once in a while, but... to be honest, like, I got tired of it. I mean, there's a lot of, how do you say, one patan, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same. And there's exceptions, right? And,
yep.
I mean, I feel like the classics, you know, like, whatever, Cowboy Bebop, there's the ones you guys know, those are really cool, and I feel like they might even be better, but there's still really good new anime if you search for it, and I've seen a few. But, yeah, I just got tired of it. So that was good for me, because it helped me, and, like, honestly, now there's probably, like, 80% of the people, like, I love anime, I want to learn Japanese. That's totally awesome, right? You should do that.
Yeah.
Don't force yourself to, like, oh, I'm not going to learn anime because it's not productive, right? It's your gateway, right? It's your way to
right.
to get into it. So, it, like, that would be, to me, your goal, and what I would even tell myself. I mean, I happen to be this, whatever, obsessive character. I think it's maybe my personality, but, like, I'm very, like, hardcore, you know, I guess the expression I was planning on saying is, like, what is it, yaru nara tokoto yare, or
uh-huh.
something like that, if I have that correct, which is, like, you know, if you're doing something, then, like, do it you know, be hardcore about it, like, such that you don't, you know, you don't like, you're not half-assed about it. Right. So anyway, I think I'm getting off topic, but what I mean to say is that it's okay to use the crutches. It's okay. The most important thing is to do it in a way that you enjoy. Another example I was thinking is, like, I read a lot of people's blogs because, like I said, I'm, you know, interested in helping people, and I'll definitely, I've given a lot of, I don't know about a lot of, but occasionally feedback on other people's translations, you know, amateurs,
right.
And also about articles and stuff. And I've seen two or three people who, like, I need to learn 500 kanji in 2 months. It's like, okay. And then, of course, the guy or the girl, like, burns out. Like, oh, they didn't learn them, or they learned them and then they forgot them.
Right.
And, like, to me, that is, like, the epitome of, like, the wrong way through. And, like, yeah, I've had stages where I wasn't that extreme. I tried to learn, but I didn't have, like, the ultimate goal of I need to learn 500 kanji in X amount of time. It's like, to me, that's totally the most wrong thing you can ever do. You want to have fun. That's like,
yeah.
Even if you're as crazy as me, it's not going to be fun.
Is that
so? It's going to be a waste of your time, and you're going to burn out, right?
Yeah. Is that how you've kept the interest for the past 20 years of studying Japanese? Do you keep finding something that new that's interesting, or has that one interesting thing kind of driven you on?
Oh man, yeah. There's so many. Like, I was just thinking about this too, and I couldn't find a good Japanese word for it, but domain, maybe yoiki. But it's basically. There's so many different areas, right? And I've probably written about this too, but, you know, if you listen to a business podcast, you get one type of word. You watch anime, you read literature books, you read, it's like, depending on the, bunya maybe is the right word, you know, the domain, the area, right? It'll be very different vocabulary and a very different writing style. Same with speech, right?
Right.
Japanese has so many dialects. There's, you know, the old style, you know, samurai flicks, obviously, is, how do you say, taiga drama. You know, they have all these different accents, and it's like, you can, there's so many things. So to me, like I said, I've shifted. I used to be more into anime. Then I had a phase of dramas, you know, drama, and I watched those for like years. I watched, I don't know, over 100 probably, and it was a great experience, but I'm kind of bored. And once in a while, I watch them. And then I did a lot of literature, different books, and I still do that. And then I started gradually turning that down. And then I'm now doing a little more translation, which means I have less time for literature. But yeah, so I just, whatever's interesting, I try to keep the Japanese part, but I'll shift to different things. And I think other people too, like, you know, you like anime now, that's cool, but eventually you might find that maybe you'll get into interpretation or something else. So just, yeah, just focus, just find whatever's the funnest way for you to learn the language.
And I think that's very, very true. I mean, when I was first interested in Japanese, I was I liked some anime. Actually, the first thing that really interested me in Japanese was the Power Rangers. I was a big Power Ranger fan. And I wanted to know where that came from. And so I looked at, you know, I found Super Sentai. And then, you know, I went from Super Sentai and found, you know, Pokemon, and just kind of got into that kind of stuff. But now the thing that I'm really interested in is not only, you know, teaching Japanese on the podcast. It's something I really, really enjoy. I mean, this is fun for me. I work a full-time job. I do Japanese interpretation, and I work at a patent office helping translators. And But for me, the funnest part is when someone has a question, and I really enjoy pulling people up now. I like finding those little nuances that I didn't know before when I'm saying something, improving my perception. To me, that's fun for me. You know, I still enjoy every once in a while, I'll pull up an anime. I was watching Boku no Hero Academia. I hadn't seen that yet. And so I was watching that, and it was just fun. I enjoy that.
What you mean. Yeah, definitely, man. Maybe it's obvious, but I think a lot of people, they force themselves. So, you know, Muryo Suruna, right? That's the number one rule, right?
That's right. I think one thing that I say every podcast is after 10,000 mistakes, you become fluent. I think that's really important. Sometimes I say through 10,000 mistakes, sometimes I say by 10,000 mistakes. But the idea is, I think a lot of the time we're encouraged to be perfect. We want this, you know, I have to memorize 5,000 kanji now. I have to, you know, I can't make this mistake with this grammar. I have to conjugate it perfectly. But it's the process of learning to make those mistakes. That's how, and the only way you're going to keep making those mistakes is if you find something that you enjoy.
Totally agree, man. And it's not just that, but you shouldn't worry about the mistake. Like, it's another way of rephrasing that is, don't worry about the mistakes. Like, you know, purposely, you put yourself in environments where you make mistakes, right? Yes. It's like speaking. One thing, I've had periods of my Japanese, study, hobby career, where, and even now, like, I'll hesitate, you know, here's a person I could that I don't know, or somebody I know I can talk to, right, in Japanese. Right. But if it's somebody I don't know, you know, like you, for example, that's a great example. Like, yeah, I got to speak in Japanese with somebody I don't know, you know, and because of my environment, I have less experience speaking with people unless, so I kind of shy away. So I have to force myself and say, wait a minute, this is a good opportunity. It's going to be, that's something that's good for me. I'll make mistakes, right? It's cool.
Right.
But the after those mistakes, as in this interview, which I'm sure I'll make, they'll be good experiences, right? So it's definitely good to, I mean, I don't want to force it, and other people shouldn't force it, but at the same time, if you recognize that those mistakes help, you'll be more positive about the experience, right?
Exactly, exactly. And actually, I think that's a perfect transition point to jump into Japanese. So for people who are new to my podcast, when I do these interviews, I try to do the first half or so in English, and then I try to go from there at a natural progression into the second part into Japanese. If you're a new learner, I recommend you still listen in. You may learn some words that you don't know. You may only be able to pick out the particles wa and ga or des when we speak, and that's completely fine. However, if you're a more advanced speaker, you're going to hear me and I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to be like, that guy's interpreted for people? Like, yes, it's completely fine. And you, maybe through my mistakes, you'll be able to improve. And that's what I'm hoping for. So with that, We're going to jump into Japanese in this point, and you'll also notice that I will be speaking more polite. But Jeff is more than welcome to speak down to me because I am his kohai. He has 20 years of experience. Yeah. I have 8. Like this guy, Nihongo wa kanna kattara Jeff ni omakase shimasu. Sumimasen. それでね、少し今から翻訳についてちょっと話し合いたいんですけれども、翻訳って。もし今に聞いている方々が翻訳に入りたい、翻訳したい方がいらっしゃれば、どういうふうに翻訳した始めばいいでしょうか。
そうですね。じゃあ翻訳って言いますと、まず最初知ってもらいたいのは、多分お金にあんまりならないかもしれませんということですね。ちょっときついですけど、僕例えばですね、言語という、翻訳サービス、ウェブサイトあるじゃないですか。
はい、
僕は去年、ちょうど去年の1月頃に、1月から3月まで、夜の趣味の時間ですけど、ちょこちょこ、はい、多分夜に1、2時間ぐらい、ちょっとずつ言語で、日本語、
はい、
英語から、じゃなくて日本語から英語に訳す仕事をさせてもらって、はい、とても楽しかったんですけど、その3ヶ月間の間で、たったの1000ドル、もらいましたよ。
そんな。現場で働きましたか。そうなんですか。
とかなりの。
はい。
どうぞ。
言語で働いていらっしゃったんですか。言語。
なんていうんですか。
まあ、趣味っていうか、ね。
そうですね。サイドジョブとしてはちょっとだけ働かせてもらいましたけど、二つですね。はい、そのお金にならないことと、僕は個人的にフィクションが好きなんで。小説、昔から大好きで、小説を訳すのも大好きだから、言語にはあまり向いてません。言語では、フィクションとか、クリエイティブと関係するものは、禁じられてます、実は。そういうルールがあります。
はい、
だから、そういう仕事は、たまに間違いとしては翻訳したりもしたんですけど、はい、基本的にはないですよ。
なるほど。
だから、その一つの理由で、言語は一応、はい、すごい、いい会社で、そのサービスとか、はい、いろんな意味で、その、なんていう、システム自体はとても便利で、はい、働きやすいけど、お金にならないことと、そして、ノンフィクション、例えば宣伝が多いですよね。アマゾンの、作品の、なんていうの、説明文とか、そういう仕事、と、なんだっけ、レストランの説明文とか、そういう仕事多いんですよね。はい、
そうです
ね。個人的には、そうなると、小説の翻訳になりますよね。それ僕にとってはとても楽しい仕事で、
はい、
でもそれも調べてみるとあんまりお金にならないことが分かってきて、
そうですね、ちょっと確かに。
趣味ではさせてもらってますけど、サイドジョブとしてはいいんですけど、なんていうんですかね、メインジョブ、本職としては、はい、ちょっと微妙なところありますね。
とにかくまだ。すみませんね、特になんか初めの時にね、僕は実はですね、2年間前かな、趣味として言語でもう働させていただきました。ほとんどなんか、SNS とか、なんかビジネスのEメールとか、それをほとんど翻訳させていただいたんですけど、あまりお金にならないですね。実は。
そうですね。
でも楽しかったです。
ね。じゃあ、でもね、翻訳に入りたい方がいるとしたら、まあ、多分、まあ、なんていうのかな、いろんな本を読んで、ちょっとずつ趣味として訳してみること。
はい。
はい、実はね、つい昨日なんだっけ、バンゲルさんでしたっけ、
はい、
そのインタビューを聞いたから今そのインタビューの内容が蘇ってきててでもそのインタビューの内容はかぶりたくないから一生懸命違うこと
を考えてます。お願いします。
彼が言ったのは、まあ、とにかくいっぱい読書してそして自分でちょっと翻訳してみて、そしたら英語と日本語がよくわかる人に比べてもらう、まあ、それは僕もちょっとだけやった経験ありますけど、それ絶対に おすすめですそしたら、まあ、そうしてみると翻訳がどれだけ難しいかをちょっとわかると思います、
はい、
僕は最初なんだっけ 2年間前にちょっとだけキャニキャニという小説、まあ、アニメもあるんですけど、その小説をちょっとだけ一章なんだっけ第一章だけ、
はい、
ちょっとだけ翻訳してみました、
はいはいはい、
そしたら意外と難しくて、多分最初のページを訳すだけでも、
はい、
数時間、まあ、10時間から結構時間がかかってびっくりしました。じゃ翻訳がこんなに難しい仕事とはびっくりしましたって、すごい意外な体験でした。だから、はいはい、翻訳に興味ある人は絶対そういうことをしてもらいたいと思います。そうするといろんなことが分かります。その難しさ、そしたら、はい、まあ、どういう問題っていうか、どういうハードル、どういうことしていけばいいか、はい、まあ、ちょっとずつ分かってくると思います。とにかく自分でやってみてください。
そうですね、それはすごくいい状況だと思います。もしなんか今に聞いていらっしゃる 方々が翻訳に入りつもりがあったら、すごく日本語と英語両方ともご存知か方になんか書き直すお願いするのがすごく便利だけではなくて、一時的にただ やってみる、よくなんか分からなかったら、なんか英語から日本語に翻訳する気があれば、それはなかなか難しいかもしれませんが、やっぱり一生懸命頑張ってっていうところで、少しずつだんだんなんか良くなるだと思う。しかも今の、ブログで書き直し、プルーフリーダーのボランティア法がありますね。
そうですね。うん。そしたら数人方から連絡して、前のプロジェクトでは 4人ぐらい、
はい、
手伝ってもらいました。まあ、これからもどんどん何て言うんですかね、そういう人を出会いたいので、はい、誰かリスナーさんでそういう人がいらっしゃったら、絶対連絡してもらいたいと思います。
どうぞ皆さん、やっぱりなんか、みんな1000人と一緒になんかこのサイトがブワーに行くと、なんかバッシンとになってしまうので、よくなんかこれに対して興味があれば、どうぞジェフさんに連絡してください。それで今のところで、やっぱり日本語が趣味として勉強していますが、これだけではなくて、本も書いていらっしゃるんですね、ジェフさん。
まあ、本書いてるというか、翻訳者としては働いてますけど、実はね、去年、
はい、
ちょうどすごい日本のいい作者っていうか、小説家に出会いましたというか、見つけました。もう死んでる方ですけど、
はい、
雲野十太という方がいて、彼が、はい、あるところによると、日本の SF、 つまりサイエンスフィクション、
はい、
科学小説の父と呼ばれてるんだって。
そうですね、
そういうことがあって、自分ですごいびっくりしました、
はい、
その方のことをそれまで聞いたことなかったので、はい、こんな人いるんだってすごいびっくりしましたよね、
はいはい、
そしてじゃあその人の作品とかちょっと読んでみて、はい、これすごい面白いな。例えば彼はほとんど1930年代と1940年、その辺、
はい、
その時代に活躍してて、
はいはい、
しかも彼すごいいろんな技術をなんか小説に入れてて、とにかくすごい、その時代にしてはすごい方だと思います。そして調べたら 彼は彼の作品は一つもまだ英訳にされてないということが分かったので、じゃあ自分でちょっとだけ翻訳してみようかなと思って、で、はい、いろいろ調べたら、あのそのなんていうんだっけ、依存っていうんだっけ、あの、うん、とにかくの宇野重左さん の, あの親戚の方に連絡が取れて、はい、じゃ あ, あの、まあ、それは実はあの青空文化に載ってて、はい、まあ、それ誰でもタダで読めるんですけど、多分翻訳して出版することもできるかもしれませんけど、あるところによると一応あのその親戚、その本人か、はい、本人が死んでる場合は親戚に、はい、あの取って、その正式的な許可、あの、はい、翻訳して出版する許可を取った方が、まあ、訴えられないというか安全ですよねって言われましたので、はいはい、一応その許可も取れました。おー、意外と簡単に取れました、はい、そしてじゃ あ, まあ本出してみようか。で、あの1月の頭に一応あの宇野重左さん の, あの5つ の, あのショートストーリー短編小説を自分で翻訳して、はい、あの友達っていうかの知り合いとかにあの手伝ってもらって編集して、そしたらあの Amazon に、はい、あの電子書籍 ebook としてあの出させてもらいました。とてもあの楽しい経験でした。
すごいですね。
あの、はい、どうぞ。
すごいですね、本当にあのこのなんか短編小説なのにすごいすごい、すごい、あのまだ英訳されてない方を見つけたりして、あの翻訳きっかけが当たってくれることがすごいじゃないですか。あのそれはなんか、ね、一生、なんか一生かな、一生 の, あの経験じゃないですか、このきっかけで当たっていらっしゃること。
なかなか レアな経験ですよね。
はい、
まあ、調べたらある掲示板になんか知らない人が、じゃあもしかしてこの人僕も訳してみようかな、なんか翻訳しようと思ってる方もいたみたいだけど、でまだあのやってないというか完成 してない、
はい、
じゃあ僕もそのなんていうの先取り、はい、あの他の人よりも自分で翻訳してじゃあ出版してみようかなとすごいの決心しました。そしての宇野重左の他の翻訳じゃなくての他の作品を読んでるとすごいあの面白い、もう一つのちょっと長めですけどすごい面白い話を見つけましたよ。あのそのタイトルはね、あの18時の音楽よく、あの18時はまあ時間ね、18o'clock、はい、音楽よく、よくっていうのはあの森林浴、浴はつまりあのシャワーとかお風呂とか、
はい、
あ、まあ、ミュージックバーフという18o'clock ミュージックバーフというあの英語のタイトルにしましたけど、はい、とにかくそれがすごいあの画期的なクリエイティブなストーリーで、しかも僕も昔からあのディストピア知ってますか、1984年とかあのブレイブニューワールドとかいろんな作品あるじゃないですか、
はいはい
はいはい、その小説自体があのそのジャンルで、
はい、
まあ、すごい、まあ、僕こんなにディストピア好きなのにこの小説、はい、今まで傷がなくてすごいなんか残念というか、まあ、ある意味ですごい嬉しくて、じゃあ自分でこのすごいディストピア の, あの小説を翻訳してあの英語圏の方々にあの読んでもらおうかなと思いまして、すごい決心しました。そしてあの明日、実は明日、はい、明日、まあ、多分このインタビューがあのネット載せる
時期は出るかもしれ
ませんが、そうですね、まあ、すぐは載せないと思いますけど、まあ、一応あのもう少しで多分リスナーがこの回をもう聞いてる時はもう出てると思いますので、ぜひあの Amazon チェックしていただけたら嬉しいです。
そう、皆さんこの本を読んでいただきたいなら、あの僕はこのポッドキャストノーツに入れるので、あのぜひやあの聞いてみてください。あのそれが結構面白いだと思います。なぜかというと、このなんかサッカーがあのこのなんか SF だけなくて多様 な, なんかジャンルが入っているので、すごいなんか読みなんか興味深いですね。すごいいいね、いいね、いいね。
しかも今 の, あの2冊の本の内容、その原文、
はい、
原作を一応全部青空文化に載ってますので、
はい、
これ日本語の勉強にもいいと思います、まあ、結構難しい日本語ですけど、
はい、
あのとにかくこれあの翻訳者にとっても、これ翻訳師になりたい人も、まあ、これ比べてみて、あとなんか日本語のちょっと古い文学に触れたい人にも、
はい、
あのとてもいいと思います。これ青空文化読みながらあの僕の英語版読んだりして、
はい、
いろいろ役に立つのかなと思います。
なるほど、素晴らしい。それで皆さん、あの時間がそろそろ終わりますので、あのやっぱりあの ジェフがすごくなんか参加していただいてありがとうございます、ジェフさん。
じゃあ、あの番組にお招きいただいてどうもありがとうございます。
いいえ、それで皆さん、もしあのジェフさんにつなげてあの話したいなら、どうぞ彼の上あのブログに行って、そしてあのこのプルーフリーディングとかあのこの本に対して興味があったら、ぜひあの Amazon に行ってみてください。それで終わりに、あのジェフさん、 I'll give you the last word.
Oh sure, no problem. Yeah, appreciate that. So yeah, real quick summary is I put two books out. There's an author by Junza Uno, and he's basically like the father of science fiction. At least he's known by some people. And he's from the 1930s, 1940s, but it's awesome classic Japanese literature that just hasn't been translated at all. The first book is basically five stories, and the second book is basically this dystopia. It's a novelette, and it's to me, like, I love stuff like 1984, Brave New World, these dystopian books. I mean, there's even some newer stuff out there, but it's a Japanese dystopian novel I've never heard of, never seen of one before. I was really happy to find this, and I was like, you know, it's not translated, so I might as well try it. So if you like dystopia, you like Japanese literature, you know, I highly recommend it. Just check that book out. The name of that, I know it's in the notes, but it's a 18 o'clock music bath.
Yeah, I like dystopias. My wife's a big fan of like the Maze Runner series. She likes that kind of more recent one. But I'm a big fan of Japanese literature. I think over half our bookshelf is just my tanpen shosetsu that I've read, or the little shosetsu that I have on the shelf. But she's looking at me from across the room like, I don't do this. What? Like, but I definitely recommend everyone going and checking that book out, as well as Jeff's blog. It's a fantastic blog to read. A lot of different advice and information on there. He's very good at getting contact with comments. But I will catch you all tomorrow. And remember, after 10,000 mistakes, you become fluent. So,
tell them, I stay facts.